the more young people get involved and like take up space in policy spaces and show that we show up and that we care and that we're informed and educated, that's how we make a difference.
That was Erin Lee Young, who recently ran for nomination to be Vision Vancouver's school board trustee. You are listening to Goody at CITR 101.9 FM, playing from the UBC Point Grey campus on unceded Musqueam territory. I'm Emma Ng, and today we will be talking to celebrated sustainability youth and education advocate Erin Lee Young about why he is so passionate about sustainability and community and what led him there. For reference, today's interview was conducted on May 27th, 2018, before the Vision Vancouver nomination election day, which was held on July 8th. So, our guest today, you may not have heard his name before, but if you are a recent high school student from the Vancouver School District area, there is a high chance that you have experienced some of his projects. In high school, he co-founded the VSB Sustainability Conference, which sees over 200 participants a year and is now in its sixth year. He also co-presented the Youth for Tap proposal that put hundreds of water bottle refill stations through Vancouver schools and truly made a cultural impact in Vancouver. Furthermore, he also co-founded the City Hub Initiative, which is something I got to use in high school. And the City Hub Initiative streamlines youth-led change by providing them with free co-working space and has hosted several high-impact groups. However, it is currently on a break. At the moment, he is chair of the City of Vancouver's Children, Youth, and Family Advisory Committee and recently ran for Vancouver's nomination for School Board Trustee. So, Erin, we're so happy to have you here today. I'm a huge fan of people who are huge fans of sustainability, and you've been a lifelong fan. Can you tell me a little bit more about how you got interested in environmentalism or sustainability?
So first of all, thanks for having me. This is really exciting. I got involved in sustainability issues in seventh grade, and we did a big battery recycling campaign. And so for that, we got like students in each classroom to bring in like dead batteries from home, and we like went to recycle them. And then from there, I got involved in grade eight in like Clarney's Environment Club and was helping them, you know, fundraise for new water bottle refill station to see if we could get rid of bottled water in our school. And things sort of just took off from there and met a bunch of great people who are doing great work across the city, and have stayed involved ever since.
So what first spurred that battery recycling program? Was it a classroom project or was it a student-led initiative?
It was a student-led initiative at the time. Like, it feels like such a long time ago. Like, that was 2010.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
8 years ago. I think what really spurred that was, you know, an interest in taking care of the place where we live, right? You know, understanding that, like, this is home and it's home for a lot of people and we need to be stewards of the land in partnership with others. So, you know, really taking that first step and sort of saying, you know, what's, you know, very local impact could we have? And I don't remember how we settled on doing battery recycling, but that was sort of one place where we started.
So can you tell me a little bit more about how this love of our natural environment developed for you? Were you an outdoorsy kid, or did you feel an intrinsic love for the environment? For example, did you have some sort of care from the heart?
I think it was definitely, you know, like a care from the heart. Like, I loved ripping around outside when I was a kid. Like, I still love riding my bike across the city. So, like, I love being outside and, like, being in nature. And I think some of us have a little bit less time to do that now that we're working on so many things. But we definitely try to get out there when we can. I think it was more about, like a social and environmental care for the place where we live and our neighbors and our communities. But it also stems from a care for, like, our natural environment, knowing that we need to take care of it.
So at such a young age, starting your own campaign and working with your classmates to do that, what kinds of feelings were you guys feeling? Like, were you excited? Were you nervous? What was it like to be a youth trying to make some change?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, with the battery recycling campaign. Like for us, like when we were like 13, it was really intimidating to get up in front of the entire school and present and to talk about it. And then as we got into, you know, policy work in terms of, you know, Youth for Tap and trying to get rid of bottled water and get money for water bottle refill stations and doing awareness and education campaigns, it became, you know, sort of trying to break the mold of where youth normally are supposed to lie in public and, like, you know, what our place is, and sort of like really pushing those barriers to work with adults. You know, to try to say, you know, we have a place in policy work. Like Tessica Trong, she's like my best friend, and we like met through doing that project. We did it out of my living room, but like really, you know, showing, like, she wrote the original policy proposal and I presented it with her, but like really pushing into spaces where youth aren't normally supposed to be and really trying to make space for us there was sort of the experience. So it was sort of like uncomfortable at times, you know, especially when adults don't take you seriously, but as you build that trust, and especially as you do, as you try to break down those barriers, like, we definitely became more comfortable.
So for the Youth for Tap proposal, was that in front of the VSB or your school?
It was, so originally it was for, so she started it at Churchill, so Tessica started it at Churchill, and I started it at Killarney. And then we did have to present to a school board committee. I think it was committee one, which is like their big, like, management and strategic priorities and coordination committee. So it's like all of, like, upper district management and like all the school board trustees were there, and it was super intimidating. Like, it's this big long room with tables and they're all just staring at you. So yeah, we had to present, and it was really well received. And it was well supported by some of the trustees who were there. And yeah, I think, you know, the more young people get involved in that and like take up space in policy spaces and show that we show up and that we care and that we're informed and educated, that's how we make a difference.
So many of the projects that you've mentioned are team oriented, and it can be hard to find people with similar interests and goals, which is something I have struggled with. So how did you find allies and people who wanted to work on projects with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, when people say, you know, oh, you must, like, this must have been some great thing that was so well coordinated, I'm going, no, we met each other at a conference here at UBC when the Center for Interactive Research on Sustainability opened in 2011. And we had sort of known each other before, but we didn't really. And so we met here at this conference, and we were talking about what we were working on at our schools. And she said that she was working on getting rid of bottled water, and I was looking into water research. Like, we test all of our water in the school district, and I was trying to get some of those results. And she just happened to be looking for those results as well and couldn't figure out where to find them. And I had some of them, and I was trying to figure out how to get a water bottle refill station installed, and she had just done that. So we, like, swapped. And we've been best friends ever since. And so really, it's sort of like by pure chance we met each other. Like, we're so close now. But yeah, it wasn't like this, you know, it wasn't this event designed to bring us together. It was sort of just like, yeah, we met. And, you know, my biggest advice for young people who want to get involved is, like, go out to things, you know, talk to people. You know, I know it's sort of uncomfortable sometimes, but, you know, we met each other just by chance, right? And we've been doing this work ever since. And so, yeah, it was not a well-planned, well-executed thing. It was just sort of like, oh, we're here in the same room. And then all of a sudden we were working in my living room. And
yeah,
that's that.
It's really cool. That seems like you guys left a legacy sort of at all the VSB schools now that there's water refill stations everywhere.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was an expensive project. It was, we got, it was somewhere between like $18,000 and $20,000 from the school board to do the water bottle refill stations. It was a matching grant at the time. They said that they couldn't pay for all of them because it would have been ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. But it basically meant that every school would pony up the cash for half of a refill station and they would pay for the rest. And so in every school, except for one high school in Vancouver, I think, they all have one water bottle refill station because they got the matching grant and they managed to pick one up.
So what did you guys do to raise the money?
Oh, man, we did, I think for Tess, like, she did bottle drives. I did grant, I think she also did grant proposals as well. She got more than one installed at her school. I think, like, they were on, like, the verge of 3 to 5, and we got two installed at Killarney for the time that I was there. But for, like, at Killarney, we applied for grants through BC Hydro, and we got money, and we were working on projects. And so that's how we got some of the money there. For other schools, I think that they also did grants, but they also did fundraisers and tried to get school cash. So,
So in high school, you really got going with more of that Youth for TAP, including environmental groups, band, and student government. What were the first couple years of high school like for you? And did you face any sort of challenges through that transition?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody faces, you know, a little bit of adversity when they go to high school. It's a big switch. For me, like, I've always had anxiety, and so, like, going to high school was, like, it was great, I really loved it, but, like, it was definitely hard the first couple of months, right, of just being, like, this is so different, like, going from one classroom that you sit in all day for 6 hours to, like, four classrooms, and then switching every other day was, like, was really hard, and so, yeah, like, I had a lot of great teachers along the way who helped support me, but, and, like, they still support me. We still, like, go out for lunch sometimes, or we go out for coffee or something, but, yeah, it definitely was, it was a lot of fun, but it definitely wasn't, like, an easy, like, straightforward path.
So, when did you start the VSB Sustainability Conference, and at the time, what problems were you trying to resolve with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the time with the VSB Sustainability Conference, so we started that in, so the first conference was January of 2013, and we did the initial proposal in April of 2012, I think. And for us, it was really about, you know, bringing together young people to talk about sustainability solutions. Windermere at the time, and they still do, Windermere runs the C3 conference, the climate change conference out of Windermere. And for that, basically, like, they were doing a lot of good work around, like, educating and informing folks about the impacts of climate change, trying to, like, mobilize young people, you know, on the pipelines, on climate issues. And for us, it was about building local solutions for sustainability in schools. So bringing everybody together to talk about what they want to see, you know, having conversations with community leaders to inform what they were going to do, and then building a plan from there. And so that's why we did it, you know, and it worked.
So from the rumors that I've heard, the Sustainability Conference is a large part of why you started City Hub. So What issues were you then trying to resolve?
Yeah, so City Hub was a co-working space for young people to come work. Something that we realized out of doing the Sustainability Conference was, so the first conference was planned out of my living room. Every Sunday, I would wake up at like 8:30 on a Sunday, too early for a weekend, and basically, you know, put on a pot of tea, bake some banana bread, and everyone would be at my place by 9. We do like 3 hours of conference planning, and then we did that for like 4 months. And planning it out of my living room was an amazing experience, one that my parents would never want to repeat ever again. And we did that again the following year. And what we realized was young people didn't really have a workspace to work in on weekends or after hours when young people needed to get stuff done, or when they were often working on things. And so they were working on things like cafes and their living rooms or something like that. So City Hub was designed to be a free co-working space in partnership with, you know, a local business or organization that was willing to give us some space for free. And we brought young people into the Dutch Urban Design Center, which is now in Strathcona, but at the time was in downtown, to really, you know, see if we could foster and get young people to work on things and really value the work that they were doing by providing them with space.
So you were like really moving in high school. What was it like for your parents, though, to be in charge of this kid who was like moving and shaking things around?
Oh, you'd have to ask them. Like, I'm probably going to tell like the nicer version of this, but for them, it was definitely, you know, like, they were really supportive of what I was doing, but, you know, there would often be, like, late-night rides home, or, like, they would wonder, where I was, and I'd be, like, I'm somewhere downtown, and it's late, and, you know, they're often really worried, and, like, now, thankfully, they're not worried, because this is, like, the daily norm. But at the time, you know, like, they were like, where are you? And, like, are you working on your schoolwork? And, like, are you studying? And, like, eventually, we had that level of trust that I was doing everything okay. But, yeah, for a while, they were just like, where are you? Like, I would be at school to like 6 o'clock sometimes, or I'd be like at the school board office till 6 and like home at 7, and it was sort of crazy for them. And yeah, I just took the bus home and all that, but for a while they were just like, we have no clue where you are.
Did they understand the issues you were trying to address, like sustainability or city policy? I know sometimes immigrant parents, including mine, can be confused why their kids might want to pick up trash at Jericho on a Saturday afternoon or be involved with the climate change movement.
Yeah, I think, you know, my parents got it from a really high level. I don't know if they, like, understand, like, all the policy work that I do now, or, like, why I'm always at the city, or why I'm at City Hall all the time. But, you know, at the time, like, I think that they really supported what I loved doing, and they just told me to keep doing what I had loved. I don't know if they, like, understood everything that we did, or why we did everything that we did. But yeah, like and I hear you though when you say, you know, like especially like immigrant families and sustainability issues, and like it's a little bit foreign sometimes. And I think that some of the work that we've been trying to do is to bridge that gap, right? And to cross that generational divide. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, you know, more than just the work that I do, are doing that really well. So yeah.
That was Aaron LeYoung talking about how he got his start in change making and policy making while still grappling with the everyday challenges of high school. We will be back with more right after a short break.
Need to talk? AMS Speakeasy offers free one-on-one, confidential, drop-in peer support sessions with trained volunteers. Our goal is to lend a listening ear and empower you to continue to strive towards wellness. Our services are available Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. during exam season. Support sessions can be requested at our desk on the main floor of the Nest or by ringing the doorbell outside our private space in room 3121. Learn more by visiting the AMS Speakeasy website. No issue is too big or too small. We're here to listen.
What's up, UBC? Looking to try something new and exciting this year? Then check out UBC Sailing Club. Our club offers lessons and year-round exclusive access to our fleet of monohull and high-performance sailboats, kayaks, windsurfers, and paddleboards. Whatever floats your boat, sail! Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit our website at www.ubcsailing.org for more info.
Hey, and welcome back to Goody with me, Emma Ng. We are talking to sustainability, youth, and education advocate Aaron LeYoung about branching out and using city policy as a platform to better our communities and environment. Aaron recently ran for nomination to be Vision Vancouver's school trustee and is currently the chair of the Children, Youth, and Families Advisory Committee in Vancouver. So Aaron, you are now involved within the city and organizations involved with greater regions, but you got started while at school. You were part of youth groups and began working with the VSB while in high school. How and when did you decide to expand the circle of people you were interacting with?
When you're young and you're trying to build a community or you're trying to be a part of a community, it sort of just happens naturally. Like, you know, everyone who's sort of in my life right now who I'm working with is sort of like people that we've sort of picked up along the way, or they've picked me up along the way. And, you know, like, it's in Vancouver, like, we often joke, like, amongst the people that I work with, like, Vancouver is a big city, but not a big city. And so when you're working with people, like, often, like, there'll be at least one degree of separation with someone in your group, with someone being like, oh, yeah, I went on, like, a hike with so-and-so, and, you know, that's how we're friends, or, like, I'm friends with him or her or them because I went to school with their sister or their sibling. And then it's like, so when we come together as a group to work on things and when we've expanded our circle, like on one hand it's been sort of intentional, but on another hand it's sort of been unintentional just because you run into people who are doing good work.
So to be specific for everyone out there, his audience is now Vancouver, as he's the chair of the Children, Youth, and Families Advisory Committee. So can you explain what you do?
Yeah, so we are a 21-person advisory body to City Council on issues that relate to children, youth, and families. It sounds like a very simple mandate. We have yet to find an issue that doesn't relate to children, youth, and families in the city. So I've talked about everything from parking in condo buildings to like big high-level sustainability plans, which I find sort of nuts. I love city policy. I'm like a policy wonk, so this is like my jam. the advisory committee is split up into three separate categories. So under 14, so under the age of 14, 15 to 21 and 22 and over. So our youngest person on my advisory committee right now is currently 7.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And she's amazing when she provides policy advice to staff or like feedback to staff. And I get to work with city councilors like Councilor Andrea Reimer, who's super awesome, who like I've been a fan of for so long, and now I get to work with her. She has described the advisory committee as her one of her crazy projects, and I said, okay, I'm putting that on my resume because that explains how difficult it is sometimes. And I get to work with school board trustees and parks board commissioners, and it's really great. We have a great working relationship with staff. And it's great to see young people involved in city policy.
So before you were chair, you were a member, but at first, was it intimidating to talk to all these MLAs and officials?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had all the titles down pretty well when I first got there, but if you've ever been to City Hall, there's one committee room on the third floor, and it's like this big 30-foot wood table with all these like leather chairs around it, and it was full. The room was full of staff and city councilors, like people that you've seen on TV do interviews, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, that was my first day. It was like June or April of 2015, so I was just finishing high school. I just didn't know what to do with myself. I was so intimidated by like these people who like I had a lot of respect for and had admired, and just be like, hi, like Councillor Reimer, like my name's Aaron, like it's really nice to meet you, like hi Chairperson Backus, it's really nice to meet you too. It was so foreign to me, and like now we're on a first name basis, which I still find a little bit foreign, but it was definitely pretty intimidating.
So what brought you there on that first day?
So I had looked up ways to get involved at the city level in terms of like policy work. I was that weird kid in high school who was like, I love policy, you know, take me to City Hall. What could go wrong? And I had found an advisory committee, and they all have an age and representation mandate. So I could apply to anybody, but the one for children, youth, and families seemed the most applicable, especially with a designated category for 15 to 21 year olds. So that's what initially took me there. It was really like a deep love for like what happens in our neighborhoods and what happens. And I find like city policy and like what we do at the city is so close to people. Like we're often the first level of government that people complain about because we're so close, right? You know, we do garbage pickup and we do, you know, neighborhood planning and things like that. So like when people talk about policy, they don't often talk about federal politics or provincial politics. They talk about like what happens in their neighborhoods or whether their garbage is getting picked up. And so I wanted to be there and work on those issues.
So right now you're studying geography at SFU. And how do you feel your education is influencing the way you make policy?
Yeah, I think, I do a pseudo human geography, physical geography degree up at SFU. I do an environmental systems degree in our Faculty of Environment with a minor in political science for policy work. And, I think for me it was about understanding the issues that we're facing, like with climate change and the biophysical processes, but then really taking that and going back into community and saying, you know, here's what's going on, here's what we need to take action on, how are we going to get there together? And often how we're going to get there together is either through grassroots community work, where you're building a community org and you're building like neighbor-to-neighbor partnerships, but also some of that action is spurred by policy work. And that's where people often get frustrated because, you know, City Hall and city staff are seen as like this one entity that, you know, that citizens don't always know how to work with. And so for me, it was about taking policy into communities, right? And that's why I study what I study and I do what I do, because it's about building community collaboration, then sort of enshrining it in policy so that we can work together.
So with that major in geography and minor in political science, I suppose you have a general grasp of how things run in the government, but did anything surprise you about the job that you're currently on as chair of this committee?
Anything that surprised me? I think how willing staff were to work with young people was like sort of amazing. And, you know, you often see like, you know, as a young person, you know, I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes you're put in a corner and asked for your opinion, then nicely like patted on the head when you like give your opinion, and like that's it. But for a lot of the people that I work with on the advisory committee, especially those under the age of 21, really want to dive deep into things, and they have like really nuanced questions for staff. And staff are willing to answer and to work with us on them. And like, we're working on setting up like a youth workshop right now on the new, we're currently revising the high density homes for families with children guidelines. It's a big mouthful, and I always get the words backwards. But it's basically for housing like apartments and up, and making sure that those units are family appropriate. And so we're going to do a youth workshop with our young people and maybe some other folks in the community. But it was really like how willing city staff and counselors and you know, elected officials were willing to listen to the opinions of young people.
So what is your favorite part of the job then?
My favorite part of the job, I think, is getting to see, you know, city policy before it hits city council. Like, that's just the nerd in me. That's just like, I get to, like, it. All of it's fairly public information for the most part. But like, we get to give feedback before it goes to a council vote, or like kindly send our opposition opinions when it goes a little bit awry. And so I love seeing things and being able to explain things to folks who are in my communities. Like, I post about our work on Facebook all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, here's what's going on. Here's how it impacts you. And then I get all these questions, and like, I get to go back and explain it to my friends. Some of my friends hate me for that. But yeah, I get to do that. And I think, you know, my other favorite part of it is actually being able to work with staff on the initial stages of policy work, not just like when it's going to a vote, like being able to see things and like be able to be like, hey, like, this is how young people are impacted. Like, we just endorsed the single-use item strategy. Well, there's some other nuanced issues on straws, especially for folks with disabilities, but, you know, plastic cups and styrofoam and all that. And I said, you know, as young people, we're going to face the impacts of this, and we're endorsing the vast majority of this strategy because it has an impact on us. And staff were like, that's amazing, right? And so definitely finding spaces where we really need to have an opinion, especially on things like climate change and long-term issues that will be the ones who have to bear the brunt of it. It's great to be working on that policy work now.
You're really busy, and what are three things that keep you moving?
That keep me moving. My friends definitely keep me moving, especially when they gently confiscate all my work stuff and tell me that I can't work on anything for a couple hours. What else keeps me moving? Yeah, my friends are definitely like at the core of what I do. Often they're my work colleagues as well. So like, we'll go work for a couple hours and then we'll go get a drink, or like, we'll go work for a couple weeks and then we'll go on vacation. My parents and my family really keep me going as well. Like, when they pick me up, when they make sure I have food at home, or like, if I come home at 11 o'clock, there's still dinner on the table. They keep me moving, which is always really nice. And grandma always worries about whether or not I have enough food. So like, I'll come home one day and there'll just be like jam and like everything on the table, everything that I like. And I'm like, this is amazing. And a final thing that I think keeps me moving is, you know, folks in my community. You know, folks like you and like other young people who are doing great things. Like, it's not just me doing good work, it's other people who are doing good work as well. And I think that we hold each other to account, which is really nice. And we boost each other up when we need some help, and we're there for each other when we fall down. So, yeah.
Cool. So what are some words that you are currently living by?
Words that I'm currently living by. Oh, geez. That's such a deep philosophical, like, what words am I living by? Not necessarily like a quote or anything, but like really being okay with things not being perfect. I'm a huge perfectionist. And so like, really just being okay with how things are sometimes is sort of like words that I'm trying to live by. But also like living to my values as well, and like checking in with myself to make sure that like, I believe in the work that I'm doing. And on the off chance that I'm like doing a gear shift, and that it's not, and something that I've been saying, you know, as I've been working on these projects is, and when I've been doing big speeches, I'm like, it's not about me. It's about the people in our communities and the people. It's about the we and not the I. So I guess those are some words that I'm living by right now.
So you're working on some pretty exciting things right now. And do you want to explain more about like what's really currently happening with your bid for Vision Vancouver?
Yeah, so I am in a nomination race right now to be one of Vision Vancouver's next candidates for school board. I didn't take that decision lightly. It was like a big sort of like year-long expedition on sort of like, are we going to do it? Are we not going to do it? Do you want to be in public life? Do you not want to be public life? Like, do you want to be out there and being the one that people yell at sometimes and all that? But yeah, so I'm currently the youngest person seeking a nomination across any political party in Vancouver, I want to say. And I think I am the youngest candidate on the field for school board ever, is how that might need to be get fact checked at some point. But we've tried to fact check it, and we have yet to find anything that says there's a there has been a person younger than 21 who has tried to run. But I'm seeking the nomination to go and stand up for young people. Like, I think that, you know, we as young people know what it's like to go through public school, right? And how amazing it can be, but also where some of the holes are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm seeking a nomination. And again, it's not about me. It's about the work that we can do as a community if I get the nomination, if I get elected. And so it's about taking all of our experiences from going through public school and be able to say, you know, here are where all the holes are, and here's where students and parents and teachers need extra help, and going to school board and making those changes. And so that's what I'm doing.
Okay, thank you so much, Aaron. Where can they find you on the internet and follow what you're doing?
Yeah, so you can find me on social media across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Hi Aaron Leung. We have a campaign page for the election. It's electaaron.ca. And yeah, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, be more than happy to hear from you. I love having civil conversations on social media. We've been having quite a few of those lately, which, knock on wood, keeps happening. So yeah, find me there.
So thanks for listening, everybody. It's been good, and I'll see you next week. Music by Tegan and Sarah, Hang On to the Night. Watching each day.